Okay, so with that, I think, John, you do the roll call, correct?
Right, so I'll go ahead and do the roll call. It's 7:09, June 9th, 2020. Lisa Gillis.
Here.
Eric Simon.
Here.
Beth Chang.
Here.
Andrew Basney. Susan Charette.
Here, on the phone.
Shannon Roberts. Lauren Bayham.
Here.
Ellie Raitt.
Here.
Okay. And we don't have any public comments for the meeting minutes, so we'll go ahead and go into commissioner reports.
Okay. Does anyone want to kick us off, or?
Yeah, you want to start, Lisa?
Okay, I can start. What have I done this month? Actually, we've made great progress on a number of fronts. Really, I think just trying to operationalize as much of some of the projects that I'm responsible for in light of my new responsibilities. So I did update Green Block website content, as well as the Pollinator for Pathways website content, as well as the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family website content. For Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family, I also really put together a calendar of action items by month and provided really like all the copies. So if one month we're doing an email, I gave the email copy. I don't know if you guys saw our Facebook and Instagram posts about Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family with my picture, you know, of at least three in my front yard. With regard to Pollinator for Parkway program, we did split it out from the Green Block Party, as we talked about last go round. So all that stuff is out there. The Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family updated website copy is live. We did add some questions to the online form to inform that program for the Deep Roots project. The Pollinator for Parkway program request form is live. And that is now open to residents as well as organizations. We have 20 new this year, so I will how to promote that to get people to do the Pollinator for Parkway program. The gardens, we're not planting until August, September, so we have some time. Parties is on hold. If you go to the website right now for block parties, it says that we cannot hold block parties until the COVID restrictions update a little bit. Because right now we can only have, I think, in groups of 10. So what else can I say? We had a series of meetings with Julie to try to transition as much as I possibly can. We are getting, all of the trustees are getting a form letter from different students that are in It's Our Future regarding expanding our composting program. So I signed all those letters. There is a meeting at noon on June 24th that Katie Brennan and I are attending to learn more about kind of what their vision is, what they're looking for, so we can incorporate their thinking where it makes sense. Last but not least, we'll talk about it later. We did, Katie Brennan and I worked on a tribute for Julie, and we'll talk about what that tribute is a little bit later. And Jonathan Pape and I have just been working through how to bring that. So that's it for me. Do you want to speak?
I can go next.
Thank you.
Hey, Lauren, just so you know, you don't have to capture everything. No,
I'm
just because.
I'm making a solid effort.
Yeah. No. So, you know,
you
just. Yeah, everyone can send you notes on like their little things and, you know, just get the overall gist is all you need to do. Okay, so the only thing I have to report out is on May 20th, wasn't it, John? Something like that. Eric Palm, John Anderson, myself, John Pape, and then the Daves from the Historical Preservation Committee. We all got on the phone. I believe that was, it was the 20th. So just kind of quick skinny on that, because it's not an agenda item, because it's something that's more in progress, is if you guys recall, this was because a resident had a historic structure they wanted to put solar on, and it created some confusion on kind of what the process is for that. And also, we really haven't run into that yet. And so the feedback from the Historical Preservation Committee was that really they couldn't put solar on their roof, their front-facing roof, without potentially losing their status as a historical structure. So it was a really good conversation. And John, you can fill in any blanks that I'm missing out here. But the Historical Preservation Committee, they understand that renewable energy is a focus of the village, as well as, it's a focus, globally. And they're kind of, they're kind of caught in the middle, because, their job is really to make sure that the, authenticity of the historical structures in the village are stay that way. The rulings that they have are not binding, so people don't have to do what they say, but if you don't, you potentially don't get added to the list. John, what's the list called? I always forget.
Yeah, it's called a Certificate of Appropriateness.
COA.
Right, COA. Mm-hmm.
So, this was kind of like a first conversation with them. I think we understand, what their mission is, and we completely align with their mission. And I think they understand what our mission is. Kind of right out of the gate, they agreed to basically adopt a quicker review process for people who have solar permits on historical structures, which is great, because that gets more in line with SolSmart. So that was kind of a nice, quick win that they were more than happy to accommodate. So they will make sure that approvals happen quickly, within 7 days, I think. John, what's the window?
Right, I think it was 7 days.
Versus what could potentially be a month, because you'd have to wait for the next meeting. As far as actually changing the Historical Preservation Committee's, guidelines, as it has to do with solar, that's something that we're gonna kind of have to continue to discuss with them, and that's gonna take some time to do. Right now, if somebody does choose to put solar on the street side of their home, which they might not have a choice and have to do, they do have the chance of losing their COA. That's just kind of the way it is right now. John, anything to add to that?
No, it all stemmed from a resident being a little bit confused about the process, understandably so, because she thought she wasn't even going to get a permit for solar, and that wasn't the case. It was just that she risked having her historic home not have a certificate of appropriateness in the future, and she understands that now. But I think the Historic Preservation Commission accommodated us a lot by having a quicker process, and they actually did say they had been flexible with a historic home recently by working with them to have the panels not on the street side, as Eric mentioned.
So so more to come with that. I think our goal with the HPC is to actually kind of amend their bylaws to something that's more consistent with like what Oak Park has. which is that you can't lose your COA if you put solar on your home, except for some rare exceptions. Because we really would like people not to have any obstacles in putting renewable energy on their home. So there's still work to do, but it was a very cordial conversation. And I think we'll continue to make progress with them.
Thank you.
I could go next before my computer dies. Is that okay? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, here we go. So I attended a Planet Green meeting on May 18th. Julie Mueller was also in the meeting, and it kicked off after It's Our Future with a tribute to Julie. And I don't think she said this at our meeting, but she said the Scholastic News, if it in fact comes out in the fall, will highlight the Roosevelt pumpkin smash. So that would be fun for the students. Mark Berger, who's the energy consultant, was not optimistic about anything happening with CEJA in the next legislative session since it's no one's priority. Although he said on the bright side that community solar installations are finally getting going, and there's a project in DeKalb through Illinois Solar for All. There's a lunch and learn coming up. It's on lowering carbon emissions in the home, and I can forward, I have it written down some here, but it's getting dark, so I'll forward that. And then Mindy Agnew, who's the Village Folk Park Sustainability Manager, announced that Oak Park had just launched Illinois' first community solar pilot program for Oak Park residents. This is through MC Squared and is only available for people who are currently in their aggregation program. They're guaranteed to receive 20% savings through net metering credits, and they're hoping other municipalities will be able to replicate this program. Oak Park Farmers Market opened on May 30th. If you haven't gotten a chance to get there, it's got a different, it's more spread out, it's along streets, and you can also do online orders that are picked up at Pilgrim Church. Park District of Oak Park announced that their Carroll Center, they received an Illinois Clean Energy Community Foundation grant for $588,000 to add and renovate the building at Carroll Center. And the building will also create more energy than it needs.
Computer might have died.
I think we lost her. All right, well, we'll see if she comes back. All right, Beth?
Sure. While we're waiting, I guess really my two main things probably fall under other agenda items. I've been having a great time meeting weekly with Ellie about the River Forest Tree Trail, so we'll talk about that later. And the main other thing I've been doing has to do with trying to keep things moving along while Shannon is on maternity in terms of our greenhouse gas inventory. And she and I agreed that one of the things I would look into was how to account for the benefit of the tree.
Hi there, it's me. I got kicked out because an alarm went off on my phone. I'm having a lot of technical difficulties. So I was pretty close to the end. Hopefully you heard what I said about Carol Gard. So that's the end of the Planet Green meeting. I also listened in on a webinar, the USDA, Lisa Effingdale sit in, because their National Resource Conservation Service is expanding to include an urban department to help the USDA reach their 2030 goal of reducing food loss and waste by one half. That would be 109.4 pounds per person by 2030. So they have rather large grants, $45,000 to $90,000 with a 25% match. We were hoping we could use this to expand our compost program to possibly fund a opt-out as opposed to opt-in. But I don't think it's going to work, because what this really is these are pilot programs. They're hoping that other municipalities could replicate. And although although you, the grant could be applied, you could have off-site composting. I think they're looking for something a little bit more involved than just paying somebody to come and pick it up and take it off. They're also part of the goal of the grant is to increase soil quality. And so it was very bureaucratic and hard to follow. But in my opinion, it's not something that we would qualify for. If anybody else wants to take a second look, I'd be happy to forward all the materials to them. And that's it. Oh, I guess the last thing is I have been updating the Beyond the Bin, and I put that on hold because it seems like most places are not taking things right now. Scarce, which is in, well, actually they moved. They were in, where were they? They were in Glen Ellen, and they've moved to Addison. And I call them, and they're only taking books, and most places are not. So that's just a project on hold. And that's it.
Thank you. We're glad that you came back.
Yes, I'm glad I got back in.
So I'll jump back in, and I think I'll just go ahead and share during this part of the meeting about the greenhouse gas emission inventory, since that's kind of an overarching thing rather than a specific program goal. But before Shannon went on maternity, she and I met, and she bequeathed to me something called the U.S. Community Protocol for Greenhouse Gas Emissions. So I'm going to try to learn a little bit more about it. But the specific piece that we said I would work on first was to try to quantify the benefit of river forest trees. You know how we have the greenhouse gas emission inventory about all of our emissions. And then on the offset side, we have benefits of composting and the trees. And I, you know, it's very interesting from kind of a scientific point of view, but I have yet to arrive at a number. And my concern all along with the greenhouse gas emission inventory is that we don't know the absolute quantity of our impact through planting gardens or even the trees that are already here. Might not be that significant when we're talking about, you know, the 120,000 metric tons of emissions. I mean, I think that the aggregation contract will probably be our best offset against that. Nevertheless, it's just fascinating to learn some things like that, you know, river forest tree canopy cover is about, it's something like 56%, which is way above the average. You have communities that have in Chicago that have less than 10 or 5%. And I think the average is maybe somewhere more around 40%. So that's an interesting fact. And I guess
does that include the forest preserve?
That is a good question.
I think it might. I think that's what gets us so high.
Yeah, probably because that's within river forest boundaries. But basically, right. I've just been trying to learn both through my colleagues at Openlands that there is a tool called like iTree Canopy that basically estimates all the ecosystem services the trees provide, right? Like carbon sequestered and carbon stored and rainfall intercepted and, you know, pollutants or that kind of thing. So I've been following this trail of information and talking to folks at the Arboretum and the Chicago Region Trees Initiative as well about just trying to quantify it, because there is a report for every single municipality that quantifies the benefits in terms of dollars, you know, where they've estimated that the, you know, carbon benefit for river forest trees is like $73,000 or something. So I'm trying to work backwards from there to find out, well, what does that translate into in terms of metric tons? I'm a little worried that from the data that I have received so far that it might not be, it might be a very small number, which would be kind of disappointing. But, you know, I think we're all trying to educate ourselves about this. And I suppose there's no reason necessarily to think that the trees are, a huge percentage offset of our emissions. That doesn't mean we shouldn't, you know, still be excited about celebrating them and protecting them. But I hope that by the next meeting, I'll maybe have some more solid numbers. But that's basically what I've been spending my time doing. I mean, there's a lot of really fascinating data out there. And, you know, a lot of it isn't maybe directly relevant to just telling this simple story we're trying to tell of these are our emission sources, and these are the things that offset it. But if anybody really, you know, wants to see a lot of spreadsheets with a lot of data, you can let me know. I think I'll send them to Shannon because she sort of said, well, like after a, you know, after a month or so, she was probably going to, since she won't be at work, that she would probably be interested in seeing it. This is something, quantifying the benefits of trees that they have been trying to do, she said, you know, in her work as well. And it's just, it's kind of a, you know, it's not your traditional economic analysis type thing. So.
So more to come.
Sorry?
So more to come.
Yeah, more to come.
Okay, Ellie?
You're on mute, Ellie.
Sorry. I have been working on two things for this last month, but mostly just the tree trails. I think that at the last meeting, I already told you about the It's Our Future composting, like all the emails that I'm sending out to the village. Lisa, I think that you got some.
Actually, a lot. Kathy Aducey, our president, has gotten a lot of those emails, as has Katie Brennan. So yeah. They've been all forwarded to me, yes.
Okay. So that is what It's Our Future is doing. And I don't know that much about what else they're doing other than the letters, because the other meeting would have been tonight, but I couldn't go to that because of this meeting. But I'll get the notes on that. They'll email it to me once the meeting is over, and then I can forward it to anybody who wants to see.
Now, is Our Future, are they focusing on a bunch of different things, and this is like a subcommittee that's doing composting, or is this one of their primary?
This areas? Is one of the primary goals, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Are you going to be attending the 24th go-to meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Katie and I will be there too, unless work gets in the way for me.
Okay.
So I'm just curious about how many emails have the trustees received on this topic?
Well, I can't speak to about all the trustees because I don't know if all of them are getting them and they're not forwarding them to me, but I would say Kathy just has gotten at least 3 or 4. Katie's gotten the same ones. So the same kids are basically sending the same email. And so what I've been trying to do is, as they forwarded it to me, I've come up with a little standard response that basically, you know, kind of says what we're doing now, you know, with our opt-in project, and that we really do want to also, you know, kind of we talk about the fact that we are committed as a village to composting, given our the fact that V90 does composting, the library does composting. Now we have the police department, the fire department, and village hall composting, and we also have the park district composting. And that we do also have the opt-in program, as well as a lot of villagers already doing composting in their backyard, because I can speak to me and my neighbors actually on both sides who compost. So, we're certainly looking to, you know, optimize our program, and I look forward to more about, you know, what It's Our Village, you know, It's Our Future, and what they want to do. So we're always open to kind of learning and evolving, and we'll see, you know, kind of where it goes.
Yeah, it's great to see the the students getting involved in sort of civic life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, actually, this is going to be like, okay, me not paying attention, obviously. But John, do you usually do any sort of report?
Only when there's a topic to discuss. But I'll discuss the aggregation when we get to that part.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Well, then that leads to the next thing, and actually, it will be a commission report of sorts. I want to welcome Lauren Behan to the commission. This is her first meeting. So, Lauren, not that I want to put you on the spot, but I am going to put you on the spot. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what interested you in putting in your application for the commission.
Oh, sure. Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren Behan. I'm a longtime River Forest resident, plus or minus 40 years or so. I grew up here. So I, you know, went to Lincoln, went to Roosevelt, went to OPRF. I currently work for the federal government in real estate for the General Services Administration. I work as an account manager with our Department of Defense and Department of Homeland Security partners on their real estate stuff. And I've been doing that for, 13 years. I'm married, two kids at Lincoln. Well, one's going to Roosevelt next year. Dogs, cats, all that good stuff. I really was most interested. Well, I love to volunteer. It's a bit of an addiction. I typically say yes to anything and everything that people ask me to do. I probably should start off by telling you guys that. But the reason I was most interested in this committee is that it appears, at least from, you know, where I stood as a resident, to be one of the most active committees and one of the committees that, or commissions rather, that's really focused on developing new things, and that felt really exciting. And I think it's pretty hard to, at least in my mind, not feel some sort of connection or responsibility to sustainability, just being a creature in the world. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you're here.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to get to know all of you guys.
Okay, so the next thing on our agenda is a tribute to Julie Lolo. I don't know how many of you actually saw, were actually in you should sat through the entire trustee meeting. After the aggregation vote, President Odusi did do a tribute to Julie Moeller, which was quite lovely. She also, a lot of that information was put in the Planet Green newsletter and has been shared out elsewise. But I wanted to share with you, I guess, an overview of what we're doing as a tribute. And it started off with the fact that we didn't think that Julie really wanted a plaque, like a bronze plaque somewhere. We thought that she needed something that was more tuned to what Julie was all about or is all about. That being her big passion is composting. So what we ended up doing is getting the village hall, the police department, and the fire department to agree to composting. And then there's a compost bin, actually right by village hall, that we hope people that are walking their dogs and stuff won't think is a trash bin. And it will have basically signage is as well. So I'll just share it on my screen. One is it's going to be called the Village of River Forest Composting Center, Fire Department, Police Department, and Village Hall. Here's an image that was approved by Roy Strom. It's ironically, I pulled this image from the internet just to kind of use it as a visual. And of course, Katie Brennan found the typo in vegetables, so we'll be sure to do that. But it has been confirmed by George Strom that these directions are fine and he's comfortable using them. So we're going to have a sign to, you know, kind of let people know what's compost. Then we'll have some information, obviously encouraging all residents to compost. All residents can compost through the Village of River Forest curbside compost program. Visit riverforest.org to learn more and sign up. And let's all divert waste together. And then last but not least, and again, we all did this. The feeling was, again, and I defer to Katie and Sue Crothers on this, given that they've worked with her longer, that she would want it this way, to have like all the education stuff and the encouraging people to compost first and then kind of any sort of tribute to her. So basically this whole thing is inspired by and which much thanks to Julie Moeller, tireless member and leader of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. To Julie, we owe a debt of gratitude for her passion and leadership in founding many village sustainability initiatives, including curbside composting, the recycling extravaganza, community aggregation of green energy, and the Green for Good program across District 90. Again, we said in founding many initiatives, including, because there's so many. There's a ton of them. So anyway, this will be, again, we're gonna have compostable bins outside. And so this will be, all the signage is gonna be on big traffic sign, kind of metal, sheet metal. And again, Jonathan Peep and I are working on kind of how to make it look great. So if you have any thoughts or ideas, again, we're going to keep it in this format, but if someone has a better signage for composting, I'm all ears. We can forward this out. Actually, it's in the packet.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Looks wonderful. Thank you for putting it together.
Well, thank you for Beth. You were the one that said we have to do something. And I was like, oh yeah.
Hey, it's great to be the one to say, hey, we should do something, and then have somebody else do all the work.
Well, actually, this was inspired by when I was in Letchworth State Park in New York State, which they call that the Grand Canyon of the East, believe it or not. They had a whole composting educational center where they actually showed how you can do composting using bricks or sticks, and they showed all these different ways that you can create a composting bin, and it's not a big deal. And so initially we did have a vision of, we're gonna do something in the Park District, and we're gonna have an educational center that's big. And unfortunately, we walked away from it because of the propensity for many folks to use open receptacles for trash. And we just didn't think we could fight that. And we wanted it to be something that was active, and had that we could actively compost in, and that we could kind of look to. So we went to something a little bit smaller, but again, I think Julie was very excited that because in her mind's eye, everybody but Village Hall, the fire department, and the police department were already composting. So she was excited to leave with that mission accomplished. Okay. So that's a tribute to Julie Moeller. Any questions on that?
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. Okay, do we need to, I guess, John, I'm gonna turn it over to you for a community aggregation update. I mean, the good news is it did pass. The village is gonna be doing community aggregation. I don't know if you want an overview of it to explain. I personally am there were a lot of good questions that the trustees brought up. A lot of those questions related to exactly how the program is gonna run. So I don't know if you can do a quick overview just so that we all have the same information.
Right, so the village board approved the contract with MC Squared to do electrical aggregation throughout the village. And what MC Squared does is they analyze all the ComEd accounts for all the residents and businesses in River Forest. And then they look at those accounts and they take a certain percentage and move those over to the green energy accounts, which would be from wind energy in the Midwest. So they would do that, and notifications would go out, letters to everyone to let them know that they're either that, well, that the whole village is a part of the program and that they can opt out if they'd like to, or even if you're not one of the accounts that's chosen, you can opt in. But at either rate, the whole village is a green aggregation community. And so, in addition to that, the village gets a civic contribution, which could go towards sustainability initiatives. That's what the board agreed to. And that amount is approximately $30,000. So the next step is MC Squared would send the letters out. That's scheduled to happen in July. And then people have an opt-out due date of July 31st. That's the schedule as it stands right now. And then the accounts are processed through MC Squared. And then the first, they call it the first meter cycle for the program starts in September. That's when everything transitions over to MC squared for the aggregation program. So right now we're just approving the mailing material from MC squared and having the village logo on it. And there's also an FAQ page that people can look at. And we're working on getting that on the website as well. So if anyone has any questions, they can check out the website and just understand how it works.
I just have one. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I just have one thing to add, which was my understanding was they were purchasing renewable energy credits for 100% of River Force. So they're purchasing renewable energy credits for the ComEd portion as well.
So what they're doing is they're purchasing 100% renewable energy credits for the accounts that are going on to squared. It's kind of complicated.
I misunderstood that. I thought they meant they were purchasing those for all of River Force.
Well, right, because we could have chosen to say we only want 50%, and then we would have gotten a higher civic contribution.
Yeah. Right. No. I understand that. I was talking about a different percent. I thought that the representative from MC squared said that they were purchasing it for 100% of, I don't know if anybody else heard that, but it's just
going. I think that there was a lot of confusion around that percent and what it represents. I think one of the trustees was confused that it made, like, did we have to get 100% of people to sign up or whatever? So I guess my question or my point, it would just be that the materials, John, is everybody going to get a letter, even the people who don't qualify for this, right? Because, or
right.
don't qualify, because you're going to get something saying the village is doing this thing, you know, you're not one of the selected accounts, but if you want to opt in, you can. And I think it's, right. it's incredibly important. I'm sure that you and your staff are reviewing, you know, the letter and the FAQs and all of that, but I feel like, you know, we also, I don't know if the story that the commission wants to tell in terms of how it, you know, is an offset against our emissions, et cetera, is reflected in that. And I guess I would personally be curious to see it. It's obviously up to, you know, you and your staff, and I'm sure you'll do a great job, but just to see it, because I read in the course of trying to learn about all these contracts, various letters on various villages' websites, and some were definitely better than others, because it is an extremely confusing thing for the average person to understand. And we have such a great opportunity here for people to receive this letter and understand it in the context of these bigger commission goals that Lisa and Julie have led us to, right? Like why we're doing it. So I'd hate to miss that opportunity and have it just be like, oh yeah, I got this really confusing letter about energy, you know? So,
Right. So
if there's like a chance to see the letter or, you know, maybe.
Right. I just got the letters last week and they had a few things that were incorrect and then they were fixed. So we're still kind of making sure everything's right. I think they had another village's name in there in one spot, you know, something like that. But I think we can get that information narrowed down and on the website, or I can send it out to you guys to take a look at.
I'd be curious to see it, you know, and only just because I don't know, I guess I often look at things sort of from the point of view of not the specialist, right? And just how is the person, you know, but if you know, I don't want to, like I said, I trust you guys to do a great job with it, but I guess I'm offering to take a look.
No, absolutely. I guess my question would be, who should I send it to? To everyone or to Beth?
I would not Eric? Send it to everybody. I'm just as guilty as anyone. The more people we send it to, the more hellish of a process that's going to be for you, because everyone's going to have opinions. I would just send it to a small group of, I'm curious to see it, you know, from the perspective of all of our efforts to try to explain renewable energy to the community. You know, like I'd love to, you know, I'd love for it to have a consistent tone with, you know, the language of Soul Smart and the language on the website and things like that. But, you know, Beth can be our copywriter.
Well, you know, you're Eric.
What if we all saw it and we could forward the, I don't know if that makes any sense, forward the comments to one person, but, or we could just show restraint. I mean, I'd be curious too, just to see. I think the more eyes you have on it, you can just see, is this confusing? You know, if I receive this, is this something that I would understand? Would I understand that my billing was still going to come from ComEd? This is only the supply portion. ComEd is still doing the delivery. You know, all of that stuff. I'm sure it will be clear, but I wouldn't mind seeing it too. And the other thing is, people could ask us questions about it. So if we'd seen it, then that would be nice too.
Yeah,
those are good points. Yeah,
like to be in a
right. But, yeah, there's going to be an FAQ page, a letter saying you're in, a letter saying if you don't want to be in, opt out, and a letter saying you're not in but you can opt in. So there's really four different pieces of material.
Well, thank you for shepherding this whole thing and making it happen, John. And I think what we're all saying is we're happy to be it. So we're curious, and you know, we're happy to be an exercise. But yes, we'll exercise restraint, and ultimately, you know, you'll be the decision maker on what it says. We're not gonna.
Yeah, I mean, I think other than Eric, our comments should be just basically focused on, is this clear? You know, before it goes out to the entire village. And John, I think it could end up saving you a lot of time, because you know, if six people tell you that it's unclear, then there's a chance to change it before hundreds of people are calling you and saying, I don't understand this.
Right. So, no, that's true.
How do you like that, huh?
No, it's true. I mean, I can send it out probably by the end of the week to everybody. And then if there's anything that jumps out as being strange, let me know. Because you never know. MC Squared could say, well, you know, we don't want to change it because of such and such reason. I just don't know. You know, the sooner we can get that information, the better.
I mean, I heard the consultant say the village has full, you know, sign off on it, because it is a message coming from the village. But they wouldn't want to make radical changes.
Yeah, no, I would think it would be more like if there was something village specific that we wanted to convey that they wouldn't really be, you know, aware of.
Right. Hey, John, I do have a couple questions, and actually one's for you, Beth, as well. So, Beth, as far as GHG is concerned, and the formulas we get to, are you going to have what you need to plug this in?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know exactly how to figure out what the offset will be from this aggregation contract. That's like a huge thing. I think I need to reach out to Shannon, or I can start reading the whole US greenhouse gas community protocol and see if there's something in there. But essentially what we need to do is to figure out, okay, assuming that everybody, if, you know, I think Shannon has calculated, you know, CO2 metric tons emissions associated with our energy use. So then we would need to figure out, okay, it's whatever percentage of River Forest households, they're switching over to renewable. And there has to be some way to calculate like the unit.
Thermal units.
In CO2.
Can I just intervene? Beth, shouldn't MC Square be able to give you that? Because if they're purchasing renewable energy credits, then they've calculated it.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. They should.
That's
right.
I mean, they're saying they're offsetting 100%, so they have to have that calculation.
Yeah, that's a great point, Susan. John, do you think you could ask them if they would be able to say, you know, assuming everybody who's invited into the program, that nobody opts out and nobody else opts in, just for purposes of rough estimate numbers, what's the net effect on the reduction of CO2 emissions? I mean, Shannon.
The easier way of saying that is just what would be the amount of 100% renewable credits they purchased if everybody signed on. So, and then so that's our base point.
In terms of metric tons of CO2 emissions that are like, right.
Well, and it's possible, Beth, that it might not even count. So I guess we just, you'll follow
it
whatever.
Count?
I mean, it's,
why wouldn't it count? Why wouldn't it go?
Because there's a lot of controversy with credits. And I'm not sure what the protocol, you know, does with that.
Huh. All right. Well, I know but that.
I don't think that's the case, but that, you know,
Beth,
I know there's.
Let me check with Gary Kunin because the high school did the same thing, and that's included in the reporting. So let me see what the protocol was for
you know,
that.
My suggestion would be, like, it's great to get that baseline, but I mean, I think I agree with, we should just get reports from MC Squared, you know, of what actually is happening, because there's going to, you know, there's a fair amount of people who are not with ComEd. You know, they've, you know, because it's an open market. People with solar aren't going to do this because.
But they wouldn't have looked at those. They would have already taken them out. They took out everybody with hourly pricing.
So did they scrub everything? Did they scrub?
Well, not scrub. I mean, they looked at the ComEd account. So if somebody wasn't with ComEd, they wouldn't have been looking at that account.
Gotcha. All right, good. So that's already been cleaned up. Perfect.
Right. And my understanding was the percentage was 40%.
I think, though, to your point, Eric, I think MC Squared is the best source to get the information. And then, and I think we need one person who's going to ask that question. So I think what I'm hearing, because I think I just want to make sure we have a lot left to cover on the agenda. So, Eric, do you have any more questions? And then we can talk about, because I'm hearing now two things. One is review the letter and get some sort of estimate of reduction in greenhouse gases.
I do have more questions, but I can take them offline, Lisa. I think we need to have a conversation about what our process is going to be around the money that's coming to the village.
Yeah, that's a whole.
Yeah, it's a whole another meeting.
And John, just to confirm, that funding they did, the board did agree it would go towards sustainability initiatives.
Right, right. That was in what they agreed. And that's very broad, as we all know. You know.
Yeah,
that's good. That's wonderful.
Yeah, congratulations and thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, so then basically just to kind of, I just want to make sure that we're focused and that we're not stepping on each other's toes. So review the letter. I think that, Eric, you're the person that reviews it from an like from a consistency in language and related to other village programs because you've been working with Soul Smart and all that kind of stuff. So I think that you're best suited to do that. And if then Beth and Susan, I don't need to see the letter. I don't know if Lauren, if you want to see the letter.
You're on mute, Lauren.
You're on mute. I'm sorry. I'd be interested in seeing the letter just because my perspective is probably what any resident who gets the letter for the first time will perceive it as, since I'm completely unfamiliar with everything that's going on. I can give you that feedback. But should I send it just directly to Emily?
Yes. But Beth, because that's Emily's mom.
Sorry.
Oh, what?
My daughter's computer.
Oh my God. I'm new and you're tricking me.
Sorry, it's Beth Chang.
I'm sorry.
People can send it to me and I can consolidate it, or John, you know, if John doesn't mind just hearing directly from people, that's, I don't have to be like the gatekeeper or anything.
Okay.
I think you're pretty much only hear from like maybe me, Susan, and Eric, and
Lauren,
yeah. So it's your preference, John. Do you want me to consolidate them or do you want to just hear back directly from people?
I'm going to have you be the consolidator.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'll send it to you and then everything will flow through you. Thanks, Beth.
All right.
Well, the nice thing about that, Beth, is if a lot of us have the same comment, it'll only come in once. Yep.
Okay. Very good.
So then basically with regard to getting an estimate of greenhouse gas emissions, John, is that something you can ask MC Squared about?
Yeah, so what I'll do is I'll ask them based on their analysis of the ComEd accounts, what their estimate is, you know, and I guess that's all I can ask at this point. But yeah, I know they're going to send reports once things get rolling, you know.
Sure. It's an order of magnitude estimate, right? And the number, the big number to keep in mind that Shannon has calculated so far is that the village's net carbon emissions are around 120,000 metric tons. And I know that Julie, you know, felt that aggregation was the best chance to make any kind of a significant dent in that. So I'm just learning about this. We're all learning. You know, I have no idea how many metric tons of CO2 they're going to come back saying, but it will be interesting, whatever the number is, to learn.
Okay. Well, then if John, the sooner you get that, because you might want that number, Beth, in terms of this letter. So, John, if you could maybe try to see if you can get that sooner rather than later so we can input it. Okay. And just so you know, I have a deer in my backyard who comes through this little gate to visit my cat. Well, he's there now. Very nice.
Amazing.
Okay. All right, so next, Ellie, are you ready? Because I can pull up your River Forest Trails document. I do have it open.
Yeah, sure.
I know Beth, between the two of you, we can go through that, okay? Oh, and one last thing with regard to community aggregation. Yes, a big to-do is what do we do with the budget? That's a big to do. We'll leave it at that for now anyway. Okay, so let me see if I can find this next thing I'm supposed to do. So wait 1 second. Sharing. All right, I don't know, maybe it's not gonna work.
Did everybody get a chance to look at the document?
Can you somehow?
I just did the agenda now.
I got it. Okay. Stop sharing and then I'm going to reshare. Okay. Do you see it now?
Yes.
Okay.
So Beth, Andy, and I have been working on the River Forest tree trails for this last month or so. So everybody got a chance to look it over. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are essentially two options. One of them would be for block parties or shorter, I don't know what you would call it, like shorter scavenger hunts, where it would essentially just be a sheet. Or we could also use John's tree map for people to look for certain, sorry, I should have practiced presenting this earlier, but for people to look for certain trees on their block for kids to use during block parties. And then the other option is in separate quadrants of River Forest to just have a sign on an intersection and then people could pass by it and take a laminated sheet and then go on a sort of scavenger hunt or trail to find various types of trees, and it would help them recognize certain species of trees and just get more educated about the canopy and River Forest.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Ellie regarding this proposal? Actually, Ellie, I have a question. I love the fact that we have two options. One is on my block for the little kids, and one could be a little bit bigger. Have you guys thought through with like this, like with all these instructions and any of the information, it would all reside on the website, correct?
Yeah, it could. We hadn't, I don't know, Beth, would we put everything on the website or would some of it just be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would be, I think Ellie's got a vision that it would be something you could, for the longer one, that you could pick up these laminated sheets, but absolutely, I think that like a PDF of the signs, and she did like a prototype of the sign and the instructions and all of that, I would envision that being available on the website, you know, and it could be on the block party page. But actually the great thing about this is that even if people, you know, can't yet have their full block parties, it's something, it's an activity that people can do socially distant, right? Anytime now, mm-hmm. while the weather is nice. I mean, I think it's gonna take a few more weeks of work before it's something that's kind of ready to hand out. But yeah, I would envision it being on the website. I mean, I think probably the most helpful thing, you know, Ellie and I and Andy, we've been talking, and by now we're sort of like talking to ourselves, right? So we've convinced ourselves that it sounds like a really great idea. And I think what we're looking for from the group is just some feedback about, you know, does this generally seem like on an appealing track? You know, should we kind of keep moving forward with basically developing these concepts? That's what I consider them right now, is they're concepts. And there's, you know, a lot of detail to work out to make it something really user friendly. And I think that there are some sections at the end of the proposal besides the activity itself where it kind of flagged that Ellie might need some budget funds to make physical signs, and that we should think about, once we have these great activities, how are we going to market it? And how are we going to know that people have used it and collect some stories around that so that we can show the impact of our work. So I would just love to hear, you know, from the group, like generally how it sounds, or any ideas you have of like, this seems like it would or wouldn't work, or it would be more fun if we did it this way or that.
I just have a suggestion as a possibility. I don't know if it fits in with your vision, but on the little trail behind Trailside Museum and the Forest Preserves, they have collaborated with the library before. They've had like story times. There is a little, it's not a scavenger hunt, but there's a photo, like where to identify it now. So I wondered if that, even if it was just sort of as a pilot program, because when you have people in the Forest Preserves, they're, you know, already interested in trees and wildlife. So maybe that would be a good place to start. And, you know, I think the Forest Preserve is also looking, because thus far they have not opened up their programming. I'm not exactly sure why. So they might be looking for other things, and they might even be able to provide some funding. So, and even if the plan was to go bigger, that just might be a good place to start. And so, you know, sort of get out the kinks before trying to expand it into to other areas.
Are you, just so I understand your idea, Susan, you're saying like do scavenger hunt in the forest preserve in the trails?
Along the paved trail behind Trailside.
Yeah.
So it starts at Oak Street and it goes through like essentially to the parking lot.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. I want to remind everybody that this activity needs to replace the Pollinator for Parkway program in the Green Block Parties. So maybe we could do a short test drive, but I think ultimately we at least have to have the one that's on my block ready. And I don't know, again, in terms of feasibility of timing. The key thing with regard to kind of the block, I'm particularly the Green Block Parties. And the block parties are green because there's an educational component, trees in this case. And they're green because of waste diversion. I really did kind of beat into my head that the Green Block Parties are key to keep green, thinking about, again, the educational component, because of they're a moneymaker in terms of grant writing. Mm-hmm. So given some of the, you know, given that we agreed to walk away from the Pollinator for Parkway program, and it was us as well as the Deep Roots Project wanting to kind of separate it from the block party, we, and Granted, who knows if we'll do block parties this year. So we might have a year reprieve. So if there's a way to test drive it, but then quickly do at least maybe on my block version, it would be great should block parties open up, because most of our block parties don't take place until August or September. It's amazing if you look at, you know, most people, you have summer camps in June, people, you know, in July, and then in August they take kind of family vacation. So really mid-August through September is like hardcore block party season. So I just want to, if in fact we do open up, it would be awesome to have some, if it's possible, to have some sort of, you know, kind of tree trail program in place. Mm-hmm. But again, I have to defer to the people doing all the work if that's really possible. So, in, you know, so just to prioritize kind of the effort, again, you know, if time was totally on our side, I would do all three things. But I think that even if it's on my block for the little kids, that would be a good way. And then we can expand it next year to include maybe the bigger kid bike thing. And again, if there's a way to work in a test drive through Trailside, that's great. But I caution us that we have to, again, I don't want the test drive to delay having something for the block party, if that makes sense. Again, if we can. Yeah, no, and that might.
No, thank you for that feedback, Lisa. I think that it's always important to prioritize. And, you know, I guess, Ellie, I'll let you speak to the timing, but in my head, I guess I'm thinking that this is something that we roll out at least in some pilot way later this summer. I know you'd mentioned that August timeframe. You know, Ellie, I guess we'll just have to sort of see how it goes with developing like the bigger version of it, you know, because creating signs, that sort of thing, could be like a longer endeavor. So I think that's some good feedback from Lisa to maybe start with the smaller version first and make sure it works, and then build the longer one off of that. But I think part of what I'm just curious about is when you read it and stuff, like, does this sound like something that you think people will do? Like, would you do it? Would you do a scavenger hunt around like a quadrant of, you know, the village? What kind of, you know, fun motivation would you need to make it like something to actually try and do?
I was thinking one way to tell if people did it would be to offer some kind of little prize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. And we see that, you know, being a huge motivator for the library in the summer, you know, getting kids to read a certain amount of books, and they come in, and if they read a certain amount of days, I can't remember what the scenario is, they get to spin a wheel and pick a prize. And I think that's pretty impactful.
You know, I wonder if we could partner.
Even if it's a sticker, you know, they go to the village and they get a sticker.
Yeah. I mean, right. Somehow that just, what your comment just made me think, do we want to partner with the library on the marketing of it? I mean, we could send them to Village Hall for a sticker if we, you know, if the village wants to sort of feel like, oh, people mm-hmm. are coming back to the village and understanding this is a village program, but the library might be like a natural marketing partner. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they've got their
If you send it to the library, they might even let you do, you know, this could evolve over time, but they might even let you do like a little display there so that it could add to the educational component of it.
And it could be like an additional place for like picking up the, you know, the little mm-hmm.
And if we wanted to do something too that was like a no waste type prize, because, you know, to be honest, the, you know, the kids love the prizes at the library, but they're, you know, things that, you know, don't hold interest for very long and then just kind of, you know, go into the trash. Is even like a stamp or something, you know, they get their sheet stamped with a tree or something to show completion.
You know, give away like bulbs or something for people to plant in the fall.
Oh, that's lovely.
I love that.
Or seeds.
Mm-hmm. Or seeds.
Yep. Yeah, seeds would be a little bit cheaper. But yeah, I would say that partnering, like to reiterate or to echo, partnering with a library might not be a bad, would be an interesting thing to do. I know that when we were going to do the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family seminar before COVID struck, I mean, they were most helpful in getting it set up. So really all we had to do was pull in the speakers, and they were doing all of the publicity, and yep. they did the flyer for us and everything. So this might be an opportunity. Again, this is now getting bigger, but we have to be isn't necessarily best given that, you know, we all might not have a ton of time, but there is a possible, if you think about, and something to talk to Andy about is, you know, we always did the tree tour, or we intended to do the tree tour for adults tied into Morton Arboretum. And now you can have kind of the bike tree trail, which I think is awesome for bigger kids who, you know, want to kind of go out and explore. And there's certainly a ton of people, kids on bikes now. And I expect that continue. We have the block party for little kids, you know, on my block. So it's a very cool program. And if there's a way to maybe then kick it off through the library with a Morton Arboretum speaker, it might be, you know, and again, if like, and Andy knows the Morton Arboretum people pretty well, given he, like, they do the tree tour, it could be a good way to kind of kick off, you know, kind of tree season in terms of, you know, starting in, again, they were supposed to do the tree tour in May, mm-hmm. ended in October with the block parties. So, you know, put it into that context, this is a part of it. Again, the seminar part would be really quite quick to do, assuming that you can get Morton Arboretum to come out and speak. And I think that they do it in a heartbeat.
It would also be a good chance to advertise also through Morton Arboretum and the ArbNet that we were recently designated as a municipal arboretum.
Yeah, well, this is great. I'll just mention one idea that I actually haven't mentioned to Ellie because I just thought of it maybe in the last couple of days, but in terms of visibility for the project, I suddenly had this idea because I've been biking around town now trying to imagine, like, could I find like the five elm trees or whatever? And you know how there's some trees, I'm not sure who put up all the white ribbons around town. I feel like it was around Easter, and I don't really know technically, John, if permission is required to put ribbons on trees or whatever, but I had this brainstorm about putting green ribbons around the trees, Ellie, that you want people to go to and find out something about on the scavenger hunt. And while I know that in a way that kind of gives the answer away, you'd still have to bike around looking for them in your quadrant. And it might also just prompt people to be like, huh, what's with the green ribbons on the trees, right? And maybe we could even write something on the ribbons, like go to the website to find out what this is all about. I don't know. I think that it's hard to break through to people's awareness, right? I mean, everybody's online all the time and et cetera, and we can send emails and put it in Kathy Aducci's newsletter, but something like a bunch of green ribbons around town for just like that block party season might just catch some attention and create a little buzz.
And I think it's a good summer to launch it because, you know, a lot of programs have been canceled and pared back. And so people are looking for things to do and get their kids off of computers. And so I think it's a great time to launch it.
Well, Ellie, did you have specific other things you wanted to get the group's feedback on?
Well, I was going to talk about maybe making a survey for before and after you do the tree trail, just to show if it helped you learn more about the trees in River Forest, or if you enjoyed it, or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what exactly, like, I would put on it.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do. You know, and again, we can either do it like online. Joan Espana is like the maven of online forms. So,
I'm sorry, who?
Joan Espana or Span? John, how do I say her name? Joan. I just know it's Joan.
Oh, at the village.
Yeah, Joan Espana. Yeah.
Joan Espana. She actually does a great job. She does. They actually forms are a lot easier than they used to be. So if there is an option to do it online, or if it's something that you want to do you know, some other way, I'm sure we can work it through, because that would help us. Again, if I think about the education component for Black parties in our programs, the more that we can measure, the better off we'll be when we want to apply for grants and the like, because we can speak to all the amazing things that we're doing.
Yeah. So should I talk to her or just think about the questions?
Well, I think what we have to do first, like, do you want to do a survey to get what, like, the to understand the impact of the program or
the impact?
Figure out what the program will be.
Mostly just impact, just to see if people are actually getting something out of it or if people are doing it.
Yeah, I think. Go on, Beth.
Oh, I was just going to say, Ellie, I think you should draft this survey, and Andy and I should look at the content for you, and then we would enlist Joan's help with executing it.
Okay.
And maybe through John. I don't know. John, should we come to you for you to ask Joan?
I can just let Joan know that you're going to reach out to her about it. Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that before we ask how the we have to get the program up and launched before we worry, like I just want to make sure that we've got, you know, it would take her no more than a week to do it, I would expect. So you can certainly give her a heads up that it's happening. But just, you know, right now, you know, she knows that the tree tour stuff is coming, because in the copy for the block party, I said more, you know, kind of more information to come. So it's, you know, certainly we'd have to write the website information for it so it could live on its own. Include it in their block parties. You know, and then say, and, you know, and somehow talk about the survey at that point. And then again, I think we have to talk about, like, if we're going to do incentives and tie it into the library.
Yeah, I think we should talk, Ellie, next week about whether it's a true pre-survey and then post-survey, or if we don't feel like we have the capacity for that, then you just ask people to complete the survey mm-hmm. at the end of the activity. And you kind of rely on them to self-report, like, did you learn anything new, kind of thing. I mean, a true pre-survey and baseline would be really interesting around things like, you know, what do people know about how many trees there are in River Forest, what the diversity and age of them are, things like that. But having done a survey when we first started the commission, I know it's a lot of work to get responses from a decent sample size. But Ellie, I think if you write out the questions that you think you would want to ask, then we can go from there. I have one other question, which is, Lisa, is there any, does the commission have any budget remaining? I don't know if we're on a calendar year, fiscal year, or some other fiscal year. And I know the commission has a kind of a small budget, and I don't know if there's anything in it, if remaining. Like, what is our fiscal year?
It started May 1st, I believe, John. Is that right?
Right. That's right.
And I do think, again, money that we have this year is tied into the Pollinator for Parkway program, like paying for that. I'm not sure if there's additional funds. John, maybe you and I can get together offline and talk.
Yeah, I would have to look it up. I have a sheet with that information, but I don't have it with me. But, yeah.
Well, and, you know, Ellie and I have homework to do, too, in terms of, well, what would the actual expenses be of, you know, building some signs or doing whatever. So we'll work it from our end, but just wanted to kind of raise the possibility that there might be some small expenses, and if you want to do prizes and things like that, you know, it doesn't need to be anything huge, but
something. What I would do is I would certainly together what you think the proposal should be, and then we'll see if we, you know, how we.
Right.
Like, I would hate to have the funds. I mean, I think we're responsible. I think that we should try to be green as local ventures, maybe, you know, something that's, you know, not something that will end up in the trash, but certainly I would have your creativity in a box, because we only have $100 and I'm making that up. But uh-huh. So I would come up with what you think makes sense, and right. Then out, and maybe it's something we have to do over a couple years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we ultimately will have $30,000. I just don't know what else we might want to do with it.
Okay, anything else, Ellie? Well, I want to thank Ellie, who has been just so creative and enthusiastic with this. And you don't even know this, but behind the scenes, she's, you know, roping in her friends and things like that, and they'll help test it. And I think that that is the best way to make them use it, is to let it pass word of mouth through Ellie and her social media. And
that's awesome.
I'm just really excited that Ellie is taking the lead on this.
Thank you. It's really fun. It's a good project.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. And I'm excited to see where it's going to go.
So hopefully by the July meeting, what we would come with is something that's pretty, you know, more like, here's, you know, what I hear is green light with the concept. First, you know, do the on my blog version, and then, you know, work on the other one. And maybe by the July meeting, we can come with something that's more like, oh, this is what the sheet of instructions would look like and everything, and, you know, possibly a budget. So plan to put it on the agenda again.
Thank you. All right. Next item, and I have to go back. Oh God, I'll stop sharing. You get to see me. Next item is, and I have to get it up again because I just lost it. So hold on 1 second. Here it is. Are you seeing the agenda again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. The last topic, because I know it's 8:30 and it's hard to keep doing Zoom. There's such a Zoom thing. But I'm just going to double back a little bit. One of the things, one of the legacies that Julie left for us was our plan. And one of the things that I did, so this goes back to my commissioner reports, I guess I should have said this, is that I did meet one-on-one with everyone on the commission. Except for Shannon. She and I are going to connect. She basically, just obviously is a little bit, got a lot going on with her baby. And you guys all saw the picture, correct? Mm-hmm. And I'll send it to you so you can see it. It's the cutest little boy ever. Again, all little, you know, all babies are like the best.
Clark Sullivan.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to, I guess, quickly go through kind of some of what I heard. To kind of set up a quick conversation on how we're going to achieve the 2020 goals. Everybody's really excited that we have this plan. I know, Lauren, we used the plan on the phone to kind of get you up to speed with regard to the commission and what its goals, what its mission, what its strategies are, how the programs line up to the strategies. So we actually have a pretty robust body of work. And that actually, though, means that we have a lot on our plate. The adage of hands make light work is a key thing. One of the things that I'm going to try to do with the village is how can we maybe expand the resident volunteer program. We now have Mary Masella, who does all the community gardens, and she does choose to be a commissioner. I will tell you that I believe the resident volunteer program is, at least initially, really has to be a friends and family program, because I don't think that we have the time, the energy to necessarily do a full-blown community volunteer approach. So just to kind of be clear, and it's like people that we know will do a great job based on experience and things like that, I think we have to try to figure out how to handle that. We also have to figure out ways to, there are three things come in that I just want to tackle. One is the email, and this is actually not even related to anything, John. Like, somebody needs to take over the email box. And I don't know, the last I knew, Julie was the one that was owning the mailbox. And so with her gone, I'm not sure who has access to it.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, someone needs to go in there and, you know, and basically just send emails. So I don't know how to assign somebody new access. This came to light because Joe, there's a new, she thought that I'd gotten forwarded a healthy lawn, healthy family request form. A new family wanted to sign, and I didn't get it. So just a to-do there.
Yeah, you know, Lisa, at one point, I think I had that, but now I don't remember what the password is. And I don't know, like, I feel like there's a lot coming into it, right? But I feel like maybe, I know I was at one point getting it, and now that you say it, I'm not quite sure if I'm still getting anything that comes in there. But yeah, we had, the idea was that somebody would periodically check it and answer directly from there so that personal email addresses didn't have to get mixed up with responding to inquiries from the public, right? But I thought that there wasn't really much coming in there other than the signups for the Healthy Lawn, and that Joan or whoever on village staff handles those was responding. I mean, I haven't done anything with it for a very long time, so I don't exactly remember even how to get into it, but I know there's a probably John, either you or Eric had sent that to me at one point. I could probably dig out the password. I mean, are you saying no one has access to it right now, Lisa?
I think Julie is the only one with access. No, I can call her. I just didn't want to. I just figured I would check with John first.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of go back through.
I don't know, because I know the commission wanted an email address. It was created and set up, and you know, the commission, someone was going to handle it on the commission side, but I don't monitor it at all. So I would have to lean on you guys to figure that out. Julie would have to.
Let me look, Lisa. I feel like when this all got started that maybe I've got an email somewhere from Eric Palm saying, here's the login and the password. Let me see if I can dig it out before you bug Julie. But I guess the more important question is sort of who's going to monitor it.
Right, so we need a volunteer to do that. Second thing, great idea someone brought up was an editorial calendar. You know, right now I think for the e-newsletter, I basically did kind of tell you what I was putting in that e-newsletter, the Julie Tribute and Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family, selfishly a program that should have been probably talked about earlier in the month, but I can pull together. I kind of love doing editorial calendars for e-newsletter, Instagram, and Facebook, because those are the three kind of outreach media we have. And then the website, and I know we keep going back and forth with the website, but that's something that the program leads are going to have to own. If I go back to what I had done with Healthy Lawn, Healthy Family, and Green Block Party, and Pollinator for Parkway, and you'll find even for Tree Trails, the person that owns it really needs to update the website. And it's very easy. Just write the copy and you give it to Jonathan Pape, and he does it. It's pretty, you know, amazing what had happened. So it's just really all copy and visuals, and from there it magically, you know, gets done and you get something to look at and approve. So that's kind of what I'm thinking right now with regard to the things that I think ultimately are ongoing. The website, the calendar, and email for the River Forest Sustainability Commission. And this really speaks to, you know, Susan, you know, you were talking about outreach and education, and those are kind of our three kind of inbound pillar. Website is, and, you know, it's more consumer. One is push and one is pull. So we'll leave it at that.
So Lisa, while you were talking, I see it's a good thing I never clean out my inbox, and so I just went searching for emails from Eric. So I just forwarded to you what I had received in terms of
I see
to log in and what the password is. And then there was also like a village communications policy or something that whoever is going to check it regularly needs to acknowledge.
Okay. All right. Well,
I can take an initial look in there, just make sure that there's nothing totally backlogged. But if, if someone would be interested in taking that on as a regular thing, that would be nice.
This is Lauren. I'll take it. But you got to bear with me because I got to learn everything first. I'll probably be asking a ton of questions up front.
Well, like I said, I'm not sure that it's really very heavily used, but that would be great. You know, and it's one that we could, you know, if we know we're checking it, the original idea was that it would drive village and resident awareness that, oh, we've got a commission. I can reach out if I've got a question about composting or I got a question about whatever, mm-hmm. You know. So that would be awesome. So maybe, Lisa, can you send it to Lauren? I don't think I even have Lauren's email yet.
Sure. I will go to Lauren and then you talk to Lauren, because if you're a technique, you can maybe bounce things off of me if you don't know where they go.
Oh yeah.
And, you just want to sort of check with Eric and see if the communications policy has changed in any way.
Okay. Thank you. Then basically the other thing I was hoping to connect with, and maybe you can send me your thoughts, is I actually created a one pager. I know that Julie over time kept saying, I need you guys to look and make sure you're committed to run. And I know that's really hard to do when it's over pages and pages and pages. So I basically kind of created a summary chart that said, you know, kind of who's going to do what, at least who's, you know, kind of raised their hand to do what, and what. And some of this has been vetted with folks. Like Eric has said, he'll continue to be the guy in charge of energy. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. I basically said I volunteered myself to kind of interface with the village with those projects that we really think are right now village of River Forest projects. Some of these things like the parking plan and green alleys, are definitely village programs. And then the rain barrel sales is just something we need to kind of keep up to date. So, and holiday lights collection, I mean, John handles that. So it's just more making sure that we stay on top of it and we know what's going on and that if dates need to be met, stuff dates can be met. So I keep all that on, but then I just left blank. Composting, and I know waste diversion is a big thing. And I know Lauren, you had, you know, said you have interest in that. Green ecosystems, there's a lot here. And I know that then you and I had talked about, you know, taking on all this stuff. So I just want to touch base. And obviously with, I added something, Beth, so I put your name next to it and you can always reject it, is that I know that we're talking about program KPIs, separate and distinct from kind of the overarching KPIs. So I said maybe it should be two different things, because one is just interfacing with the programs, the project leads, to say, okay, what are the KPIs that we can track and make sure we're tracking them? And then obviously working with Shannon, it's like, how do these ladder up to the bigger mission? So what I can do, because I am sensitive of time, it's 8:40, is you can get back to me with your, you know, with your confirmed spots, and then we can open up the conversation. We have now two items for July. We can kind of confirm who's doing what here. And then I'll talk about the next version of the tree trails. Does that sound like a plan? Unless you guys want to kind of walk through this together.
I mean, Lisa, I'll, I'm happy to help out wherever, I can, you know, quick study as much as possible to bring myself up to speed. And I know that with, composting and recycling, so much work has already been done to lay the framework, that me coming in later, it's like, oh, I can learn it, and then I'll try and help usher anything forward. But you guys have done an amazing job putting the structure in place. So I'd be happy to volunteer for the composting, reducing, and the slots that aren't taken in recycling.
Okay. Okay.
But take your time to think through what you think makes sense, but just know I'm completely open.
I can reach out to you here, and then that you and I talked about you getting involved in more of the green ecosystems. And so those are two of the big kind of holes. So I can reach out, because I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but I can reach out with you separately to kind of map through these. And I think once we have everything covered, we can, you know, maybe then talk about who might be, are there backups for any of these things? I think that, you know, having two people on some of these might be a good thing. I also know that some people are better off as individual contributors. Like, so for example, for me, when I'm doing a lot of the stuff, I was doing it at midnight, you know, so having, you know, somebody I had to touch base with didn't really help me out all that much, but totally open to ideas once we have all of the white space covered. And again, some of these are more turnkey than others. Mm-hmm. Okay. So look for emails from me and we'll get this filled out with everybody kind of, you know, thumbs up, and we can then start cooking with gas. July, I think we're having a meeting, and don't we, and John, usually in August, has Julie canceled the meeting? Or in the past, have they canceled meetings, or do they happen all year, every month, come hell or high water?
No, sometimes they are canceled. A lot of times summer's busy. So yeah, I want to say last year's August meeting was canceled. But.
Okay. We're going to definitely stick with July 14th, and then we'll get together when we're in July. We'll see if there is a need to, if we should get together in August. I mean, if we're all still kind of sheltering in place, maybe at varying degrees, folks, you know, might think it a good idea to get together. And actually in this day and age, I mean, a lot of us are working from home, and if we're still Zooming, I guess we can Zoom from wherever we are. Okay. Any other comments before
Lisa, could another agenda item for July being just opening the conversation about the 30,000 whatever that's called, community contribution?
Let me think about what's the best way to handle that meeting, that topic, because I can see that being, let me just give us some thought on the best way to kind of, first thing I think confirming with, you know, the terms and conditions of the budget, but yes. Okay, I'm not good at parliamentary procedure, but don't we have to kind of, okay, I propose that we adjourn.
Second.
John, what's the right way? It's not I propose.
I move to adjourn.
I move.
Okay, I move, okay. So anyway, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lisa.
My first meeting. I made it through. Thanks.
Good job, Lisa.
Good job, Lisa. Thanks.
Right, take care, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Laura, nice to meet you.